And that's what he's still doing today. And as you learn two or three things about the Catholic Church, you're going to go, that doesn't even fit anywhere in the scriptures. And that's been consistent for a lot of years. Okay? Last time we talked about this, there was a civil war in Rome and in the Roman Empire. Not that I'm going to reteach that lesson, but between 306 and 311 AD, there was a civil war. They got done beating up on everybody else, and now they're fighting each other to gain control for their prince or whoever it was. Six provinces we talked about, right? Eventually, Constantine, I think his father-in-law tried to kill him, I think was one of them, right? That didn't go well. And anyway, so he took his province. Anyway, the bottom line, he ended up with three of the six. So if you have three of the six, that means you have three of the six's arms. You're top dog. Okay? So eventually he took the title of Caesar. And we read and looked at that under his reign that the persecution stopped. And I was going to read this morning, but I think with our audience, or this afternoon with our, about evening, but with our audience, I'm not going to read this one blurb. We'll read it later. But I tell you what, you have to remember about the persecution, maybe from last year, some of the stuff that the brethren went through. You just have to remember it. Okay? And so Constantine, he puts an end to this persecution. You have to imagine what it's like to hear that it's over with, to hear that it stopped, because that's what took place, all right? And you can see where the spiritually weak bought into this, right? They really did. So we're going to go ahead and pick up in the Trail of Blood. I can regurgitate the notes to you. We can read what Dr. Carroll wrote and what Stringer wrote. We're going to just take some look here. But on Trail of Blood, page 22, I don't want to get going around asking people who can read or whatever. I'm just going to see I'm just going to go with it. Okay. I'm in this one right here. Okay. I handed a bunch out, so I hope everybody has one. All right. So let's do it. Brother Austin, you have one? Number 15, please, if you would.
All right. So under the leadership of Emperor Constantine, the Palatine Truce, a courtship and a proposal of marriage, the Roman Empire, through its emperor, seeks a marriage for Christianity. Give us your spiritual power, and we will give you our royal power.
Let's chew on that just for a little bit, okay? This unholy marriage, the government, and the church, the Christian church. Just think about that for a second. And I did this, and I hope you have J.T. Christian. Please, I hope you have this. I had never read this until this week, and I've been looking through this book for a long time. So if you have this, did you see that word that Brother Austin Ray said, a truce, a courtship? I learned some things here. I want to share them with you. Turn to page 39, if you would, please. If you have Ashcraft, Brother Doug, page 64. All right? If anybody has Brother Bo, Ashcraft is page 64. Christian is page 39. This courtship, so imagine all this persecution is done. And I am not going to read all this. You guys can read some of this, but we got a page, two full pages of this statement that Constantine puts out. The very bottom of page 39, just a couple of things. Look at the very bottom of page 39. I hope everybody's there. We resolve, that is, to grant both to the Christians and to all men freedom to follow the religion which they choose. Okay, smack our gum. Think, yeah, what's the big deal about that? This hasn't been part of the show. That's for sure, right? You can follow any religion as you choose. This is what the pagan emperor Constantine issues out to the people in the Roman provinces. Courtship? Yes. Turn the page. On page number 40, very top, it says, we have therefore determined with sound and upright purpose that liberty is to be denied to no one. What? Liberty is denied to no one. Doesn't that sound good? No, okay. Okay, here we go. It's going to be a tough night, folks. Well, hello. The United States of America thought it was a pretty good thing eventually, right? Here's one down the middle of the page there. You can catch up with me if you want to. Middle of the page, it says, and we decree still further in regard to the Christians and their places in which they were formerly accustomed to assemble and concerning which in the former letter sent to thy devotedness, yeah, a different command was given. If it appear that any have bought them either from our treasury or from any other person, shall be restored to the said Christians without demanding money or any other equivalent, with no delay or hesitation. Anybody catch up with me on that? This is the courtship. I don't know if you understood what that was. This was. Oh, by the way, if anybody has taken your buildings, your land, your stuff, we're going to give it back to you. No cost. Now tell me that's not appealing. Did I just hear that a pagan emperor was going to give us back our land and our buildings and our stuff, and that we can worship how we want to or whom we want to? Jack, did you have a question?
More of a statement. It was in my social studies. Not only did they get their land back, they also, Constantine also wanted, I forgot how many Bibles, he wanted them printed and you need to pay for it.
Okay. He actually did ask for some Bibles printed. You're right. All right. So there's more here. I mean, I have a few more things underlined, but if you want to have it, you want to see what this courtship was, just read this. Ashcraft has it, and so does Christian. All right. That's pretty amazing. Number 16 in Trail of Blood, if you would please. Brother BJ, if you read that for us, number 16 on page 22.
To effectually bring about the consummate, bring about and consummate this unholy union, a council was called. In AD 313, a call was made for a coming together of the Christian churches or their representatives. Many, but not all, came. The alliance was consummated. A hierarchy was formed. In the organization of hierarchy, Christ was dethroned as head of the churches, and Emperor Constantine enthroned, only temporarily, however, as head of the church.
Okay, I think this is where we left off last time. So yes, this council was called. Christ is dethroned. You've heard this before, right? The head was taken away, right? And now we have Constantine, who has been set up as the head. And this marriage has taken place through the pagan leader and now the leader of Christianity, so-called, is Constantine. Is the government. Now, I think Brother BJ just read this. Many came to this council, but not all. Well, who didn't come?
Trinitarians.
All right, the true ones, yes. They did not want a part of it. They knew better. They did not join up with the government. All right, they did not. Number 17, we call the church, the Catholic Church is in developmental stage, if you want to say that, Bogard. I think he said here in his writings here, it was referred to as the formative period, 251, where was that at? On page 32, yes. 251 to 600 was the formative period, okay? Constantine had a big part of it, a big part, but it wasn't just all him, okay? It wasn't just all him. Number 18 here, Brother Jim, are you there?
Sure. Let it be definitely remembered that when Constantine made his call for the council, there were very many of the Christian Baptists and of the churches which declined to respond. They wanted no marriage with the state and no centralized religious government and no higher ecclesiastical government of any kind than that individual church, which Christians, Baptists, nor the churches ever at that time or later entered the hierarchy of the Catholic denomination?
I like the last little bit. You know, they didn't enter in then, and there's been many since that never entered in, never was part of it. All right. We can go to 2 Corinthians, maybe it is, not to be unequally yoked, right? We can go with a lot of things, business, marriages, whatever the case is. We'll definitely not be hooking up with the government to help run your church. All right. Jesus didn't need the government's help when he started his church. Okay. And so here we see some brethren taking the stand. We can see things starting to happen. Constantine, on page 53 in Stringer, we have a page here that's going to help lay out the what takes place. Maybe some things are going to be repeated. Page 53 in Stringer. Brother Daniel, nope, you're not there. Let's go. Nope. Who's got it? Stringer, somebody. Yep, brother. Thank you. Thank you. Please. First paragraph, you good. Page 53.
Shortly, that one.
Yep.
Shortly before the end of his life, Galerius ordered the end of persecution of Christians, and he was succeeded by Constantine, who carried out his desires. Constantine officially adopted Christianity as the religion of the empire. However, there is no evidence that he was personally converted. He began to mix the teachings of Christianity with the religious ideas of several other religions that had a significant number of followers. Constantine was the ultimate politician, offering something for everybody.
All right. And then the next paragraph. You're doing good. Why don't you go to the next one? I don't know who has books. I thought.
Christians were now faced with a new set of decisions to make. There seemed to be freedom from persecution, unlimited opportunity to preach, a great opportunity to influence society with Christian values, and the only doctrines they had to surrender right away were separation of church and state and the concept of the independent church. Right away, two approaches to Christianity developed. Those that accepted the concept of a governmentally established Christian church and those who stood for maintaining the purity of the New Testament church.
Okay, again, we can read this and we see, well, the only doctrines they had to surrender is the separation of church and state. Well, I would never. Many did. Many did, because compared to what they had been through, this is just a little compromise.
That's it.
But think about it, how much damage this has done. Those two bullets there is those who accepted the government, right, their proposal. Well, that's the ones that eventually go into what we know as Catholicism. All right. And again, remember, Baptists never came out of Catholicism. Ready for this? Catholicism came out of the true Baptists. All right. Brother Josh, you had a hand?
I'm just going to take it back in this phrase, the last part of the first paragraph, the ultimate politician. Really taking it back, I remember as a kid, and I just asked Jake about this. I remember when you talked to me before, not obviously not remembering very much, but I remember a comment that Dolan made was how we're going to see an ultimate politician come in a time of unrest, in a time of struggle. And going to come in, and Daniel chapter 11 says he's going to enter in peaceably.
Yes.
And he's going to bring, in peace, and just going to bring rest to so much.
Yeah, true. We're going to see it. And here, my understanding is the senators of Rome. Did I say right? The senators or the Senate? Maybe I just read about it. But I guess they couldn't believe this was taking place. This was just like a major, what's the guy been smoking or whatever the case is, all right? But man, this was, he saw an opportunity. Well, the Lord used, no, Satan used him, okay? He saw an opportunity, the ultimate politician. And even if it went against the Senate, whatever, he went for it. He went for it and did this, built his own city, did this, all this stuff, and he thought he was really something.
Top dog.
And it worked. Top dog. It didn't matter what anyone said, right? All right. And so, of course, those that stood for the purity did not compromise and let the government be part of it. Of course, those ones who remain true Baptists, those are the ones where they might be in the shadows. They might not much be written about them. We say that. But those are the ones that we're studying about. Okay. All right. Good. Brother Alex, you have this book? The next paragraph's in the green Green pen. Can you read that for us, please?
Green pen.
Yep. Green box.
There's those accepting the sound.
There you go.
Those accepting the established church now seem free from persecution. Emperor Julian did try to reestablish paganism by force. Independent, often called separatist, curious, or baptized, churches still had vague persecution. The only difference was now the persecution came in the name of the Lord. Many Christians chose the apparent safety of the established church. The Christians were worn out by decades of violent persecution. Many had lost close relatives to the terrors of the Roman persecutions. It is easy to see how they were tempted to compromise. This mistake, however, was tragic. As soon as the government became the authority, the Bible stopped being sole authority. This opened the door to all kinds of doctrinal changes. As the years went by, the established church took position against every one of the Baptist distinctives.
All right, thank you. We'll stop right there. So it might seem like just a little thing, right? Well, okay, your only thing is surrendering to separation of church and state, you know, allowing the Roman government to be a part of it. But at the very end, that last paragraph that Brother Alex was reading, how many more crazy doctrines in the Catholic Church entered in because they established it? And all of a sudden, we stopped looking at the Bible for what the truth was, you know, and we've heard the final authority or the sole authority. It wasn't the sole authority anymore. They started going and seeing what the councils had to say, or going to see what the Pope has to say, or the Vatican, or whatever the case is. And that's where that's what it's all led to. It didn't used to be that way. All right? It wasn't that way when Jesus started his church, okay? Here's the laws. Here's the rules. You guys follow through, carry them out. Don't determine. All right. So yes, this persecution. I going back up to this persecution changed pretty much up until this point. The Lord's churches were being persecuted, I guess, first by the Judaism, right? Right, Sanhedrin and stuff like that, right? And then it seemed mainly the persecution has been by the emperors of Rome. But now, a new persecution starts in the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. I guess you can say, quote, so-called Christians for persecuting the true Christians. All right? We find that on the Trail of Blood, if you just want to write this down, or you want to look at it here, take a look at it, on page 24, number 22. It talks the same thing that is being talked about here in Stringer. Page 24, number 22. Christians begin to persecute the true Christians. All right. Bogart even refers to it on this Baptist way. If you want to write this down on page 31, you're going to see where Constantine and some decisions were made, and the Donatists were some of the first to be persecuted. All right, in the name of the Lord, the name of the Lord. Page number, oh boy. Let's do this here. So Constantine, let's go here, do with this. Constantine, he died in 337 AD. Like I said, the formative years, I think Bogart said from 251 to 600, but Constantine played a big role in this. Satan used Constantine to set things in order, and boy, did he. And even after Constantine's death, more and more things came about, all right? But let's go back here. Just turn to page 60 in Stringer. Turn to page 60 here. Remember when we were looking at the Trail of Blood, there were three major errors that start slipping into the churches in the second and third century. This is for review. Name them. Okay, infant baptism. Let's start baptizing babies so they can go to heaven. That was one. Thank you. Something else?
Church polity. Pastoral generally.
What did you say?
Church polity.
Okay, church, the government, polity. Yeah, pastoral role. Did I hear that right? Okay, how it was conducted? And then I heard the other one, I think.
It's talking.
Okay, baptism for salvation, regeneration, okay? So let's go with the pastoral rule or the big church and the pastor over the little churches. Let's go with that. Ready? Do you realize that that is what the Roman Catholic Church took off with? And that's what they have even today, if you want to get right down to it, their government, how it's done. All right? So on page 60, I hope everybody has this, on page 60, we're going to read a couple things here about, quote-unquote, church organization. And now, when we read this as church organization. We're not talking Matthew 16, 18. We're talking the ungodly church, the church members that went away from the air, from the truth, and were practicing in there, then they got to, no more Holy Spirit, that church, okay? That's what we're talking about. So Stringer, page 60. Somebody else, Brother Jacob, do you have that?
Yeah.
If you, you got it? Okay. Church organization. Why don't you read that first paragraph, please? Organization between local churches.
Organization between local churches began before the union of church and state under Constantine. The concept of bishop, senior pastor, was soon corrupted into the concept of a leader ruling over several churches in one geographical area. This approach was gradually turned into a form for uniting all churches involved in the church-state system into one organized church.
All right. So I just wrote down on my notes, senior pastors and sort of led to, well, senior pastors sort of leading out over these other pastors, these other churches, right? And then we have this union take place, the church and the state, sort of united all the churches, and it was almost like one organized church. And then we go with the word universal, Catholic, right? For the Doug?
It's a little bit different use of the term. For Catholic, which means universal. Because in our time, universal means everybody belongs to it. What it meant for them is if you weren't part of that church that was being led by and dictated by them, that's what excluded and that's what kept you out of the universal church, the Catholic church. That's what Catholic meant in its origin.
And it was the church. The Catholic church, that was the church. That was the church of the Bible, the New Testament, the apostles or whatever.
And I think a lot of times that gets lost in history because when we read about the church of churches, if we're old people who have lessons in class, it's almost confusing sometimes because you'll read about the church or about, but it's talking about not independent churches, the separatists, it's talking about historically most of the time, the Catholic organization that's persecuting the separatists, the nonconformist,
Okay, you see how this is all just sort of slipping in just smoothly, right? All right, let's go to the next paragraph. Next paragraph. Who was reading? That guy, who was that reading? Is that you, Brother Jacob? Go ahead, do that next paragraph.
When Constantine gave the influence of the Roman Empire to the system, it quickly became dominant, and the organizational structure of the church system quickly included all regions within the Roman Empire. The emperor became the head of the church system, and since he was already head of a pagan religion, these two roles quickly became confused. Because of his relationship with the Roman emperor, the bishop at Rome soon became the most important creature in the empire.
All right, I want you to chew on that stuff. First of all, he was the head of the pagan religion, just thinking about that. And now he's going to be the head of the church system, the Christian church, right? Wow. And then it starts talking about, and Brother Jacob just read, you know, the other church in Rome. Everybody got that? The other church in Rome, that pastor, I believe it was Cornelius first. I think I'm right with that. Okay, Cornelius, right? He starts to develop a relationship with the emperor of Rome. Probably bends his ear or gets his ear more often than others, right? Do you see something there? Government leader, pastor of the church in Rome, do you see something? Oh, my. That's scary. Do you think the brethren back then were seeing this take place going, are you serious? We're reading about this. We're reading about this. Is this happening now? Go ahead.
Think of the scripture there where the brothers wanted to sit on the right hand, left hand of Jesus. He said, and the other guys got their indignation. Like, we made you all this power for us, stuff, you know. The foresight of God, the knowledge of God, is foreknowledge. He tells them that it shouldn't be among you. No leaders, nobody raised up in power. If you're going to be mighty, you're going to actually be a servant.
A servant.
And how that's playing out here, as pastors are vying for control and leadership, that's exactly opposite of what Christ instructed.
Exactly opposite of what he wanted. Okay? Again, we're reading this page out of Stringer. You can find some more information. You might even find, Brother Doug, some dates are a little bit different. This is just a general overview. You can see how it's all unfolding and taking place, even during the time of Constantine. All right? It's just taking place. And you can see how the other church in Rome that our brethren declared non-fellowship with, right, in 251 A.D., you can see how they're feeling pretty good about themselves. You can see how the preacher guy, look at me. I've got the governor. I've got the emperor listening to me, us talking. Yeah, because we're going to, probably tomorrow, I'll talk about a couple of councils and some of the things that took place. All right. Did you go ahead?
Yeah. So with the election and everything, election season going on, got some discussion there about, you know, our governments, aren't governments ordained by God, and aren't they set up by God, and this and that. And this just makes me, it makes me think of the reason why God didn't want children of Israel to have a king. Because it's not about, well, God's jealous and he doesn't want us to rely on a government. It's God knows our frame. He knows our propensities as human beings. And if I'm aligned with the one in power, the one who's in power is the one I like, my trust starts to shift away from God.
Yeah.
My confidence in God, my ultimate reliance on God. Now, if there's someone in power who I don't like, maybe I have more faith in God. Maybe, I don't know. But that's why God said, you don't need a king. You don't need a king at all. Well, we want to be like these other countries. You don't. And so, and I know this wasn't necessarily the same, but there's a reason why separation of church and state. And the Bible teaches that, and the Bible promotes that. You know, don't put your faith in chariots, and don't put your faith in horses. And so God knows us as human beings. And
yes, he does.
We do need to be sure that we need to be sure where our confidence is and who it's in.
Just think about this for a second. Because does God's way, whether it's doing mission work, how to get saved, protecting the church, does God's way need improved? Or when he set it up, was that good enough? You know? And yet we're already, I am anyway, maybe as I know where I'm going to go with this, I'm already seeing there's all this, but this can be better, or how to tweak it a little bit here, and new and improved, and whatever, and let alone the new Bibles and the new whatever. It's just been, Satan has been behind this stuff for a long time, okay? And how he set it up was good. It was perfect, matter of fact, okay? Let's do this. Yeah, let's do one more paragraph here. Brother Josh, are you there?
Yep.
How about let's read this last paragraph on page 60. Yeah.
Roman Emperor begins to use the title Pontifex Maximus as the head of the established Christian church. So saying that the leader of the pagan religion, this was shortened from Pontiff or Pope, meaning Holy Father, When the Roman Empire crumbled, there was no emperor in the West. The bishops of Rome gradually assumed the power and the role of pontiff. This development created the modern Roman Catholic religious system and denomination.
All right, thank you. That's, again, that's some information. You might find some things just a little bit different there. And Trail of Blood, if you want to write this in your notes, Carol talks about some of this on page 26, number 29. Shortened down to pontiff, then to pope. Did you read that about when, did you hear about, Josh read that when the Roman Empire fell? If you didn't know this, the Roman Empire did fall. If you guys are not aware of that, okay? Okay. And the emperors were all gone. The Constantines and the others were all gone. And who did that lead?
The Catholic Church.
It left the religious leaders, right? The pastors. And who takes over as the lead? The lead kingpin. All right? So religious leader. And then he assumes the title. And now we're the Pope, or whoever we are.
Assuming the role.
Assuming the role. All right? Brother, every time I read through this stuff, I got Brother Hawker going with that face. He goes, don't they just read? Don't they just read? I know. And so, I just help and think of this, you know, this father thing, right? I know Brother Cooper has shared, I think it was Sister Denise, anyway, was found out that, that Jesus had some half-brothers and half-sisters, right? And it's these lies. That, anyway, I think most of you have heard Brother Cooper refer to this story. The bottom line was, it was read to her in the scriptures. It was right there in front of her. And she felt like that I think you said the Catholic Church had been lying to her or something like that. Do you realize the Catholic Church has been doing a lot of lying? I mean, that's all they are. And I'm just thinking of Brother Hawker. You're going, so I went over to Matthew and I was rereading it here in Matthew chapter 23. You guys know where I'm going with this, you know. And you really want to get the idea of the setting. Read the whole scriptures here in Matthew 23. Jesus is doing some teaching to the disciples and whatever, of course. You know, talking about the scribes and the Pharisees, they love to have their place and their position. Moses the seat, right? But you know what I'm talking about. Then it gets down here, like the verse number 9. He says, and call no man your father upon the earth. There is one is your father, which is in heaven. And so it's pretty simple that our father is in heaven. Matter of fact, I think he taught him to pray to our father in heaven. Our father is in heaven. Mm-hmm. And so, you know what? We can be fathers. And so here we're father so-and-so, we're father so-and-so. Don't be called father so-and-so. Okay, it goes against what Jesus says here, okay? And so it's just a simple thing, but you're right, they don't read. Brother Jim, go ahead.
Well, what does Father mean? Creator.
Okay.
Right? I mean, I guess Dad did create his daughter, but he didn't create them all.
No. yes. So, yeah, I tell you what we're going to do. I said to tomorrow, we'll do this tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll take a look at a couple of councils that Constantine called. And I'm not wanting to go into all the councils, but just a couple of them. And I want to bring it out in actually the first couple of councils that take place. Ready for this? The decision was made to, quote, follow the teachings of the scriptures. But that's not the way we're going to look at it. We're going to find how they come about to do that. And that's a problem. It's a major problem. All right. The scriptures tell us the truth. We're supposed to study it, learn it, and find it. We don't need to get together and vote on it, kind of a deal. All right. So tomorrow, Lord willing, we'll take a look. And this is just another step how the Roman Catholic Church was, you know, of course, took Jesus out of being the head, but just literally taking the Bible out of the equation.
Amen.
All right? And that's what they end up doing. And they get all these smart people together, quote, for these councils. Take all expenses paid by the government, by the way. Who's buying your room? Who's buying your food? Who are you going to side with? Think about that for a second. Anyway, we'll pick up on that tomorrow, Lord willing. Let's go ahead and stand. Let Brother Cooper get up here and get started. Thank you for your attention.